Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NFL is masterful at keeping our attention even when there are no games and absolutely nothing happening on the field. We see multiple examples of it during the offseason. So in the weeks immediately following the Super Bowl and the pomp and the circumstance, the parade, well, then you've got the ramping up to the combine and owners meetings, which of course bring about potential rules changes and all the debates that are accompanying those potential rule changes. And we've got pro days and we've got mock drafts, which led me to ask the question on Wednesday, how many mock drafts are too many mock drafts? Your answers made me laugh. Many of you went with one. One mock draft is too many mock drafts. But we're getting close now because the NFL draft is just a week away from Thursday. But how about this? Another perfect example of the NFL keeping our attention even when there's not much going on, really. It's just it's not even a piece of paper anymore. But it's a big schedule reveal, and fans now geek out over it and immediately overanalyze all the possibilities. Maybe you feel better about your team's prospects in 2019. Maybe you feel worse. If you're Antonio Brown and Trent Brown, and we'll hear from them a little bit later on, you feel like the NFL did you no favors. We already know who has the toughest schedule in 2019, based on record from last season. You can look at some of the stretches where teams are playing away from home. Think about landmines and pitfalls, but you also circle those games that you really want to attend or that you will make appointment television or radio. It's fun in April. It's as much fun as we can have talking about football in April. So what are the best matchups on the newly released NFL schedule? You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Man, the primetime schedule. For those of you who may scoff at the fact that the NFL takes over Thursdays and Sundays and Mondays. Oh, yeah, well, the primetime schedule is your reward for the investment. It is fire in 2019, so we'll get into it. But in the meantime, find us on social media, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It gets you inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and I kind of felt like for a time there on Wednesday evening that the release of the NFL schedule actually cast some shade, maybe overshadowed what was happening in hoops and hockey in the postseason. But we're here to set that right, using my air quotations, whatever. If you like the NFL schedule more than you like the hoops and hockey playoffs, then that's fine. It takes all kinds of sports fans to make this crazy world go around. But we are going to get into both the hoops and hockey postseasons. And coming up in, we'll call it 15 minutes, the call of the night. It just happens to come from the Stanley Cup postseason. But we're going to strap on the high tops right now and run full court.
Your nightly fix of pivotal playoff action. It's time to count down to the crown.
James Harden stuck the triple. That was a steaming pile of awesome.
Right hand slam for Kevin Durant. Got it. Cha-ching, another money ball.
Slam. Wall rising. The tomahawk throwdown.
Turnaround three on the way.
Oh, he banked it in. LeBron James banked it in.
Oh, my word.
Shot. Get it.
Westbrook gives the Thunder the victory.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
We will not know who is the winner of the NBA MVP, which is a regular season award, for many weeks. It's going to be a while. So whether it's James Harden, whether it's Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's already been decided by the voters. What we do know is that they both have this playoff stage, and both of the top candidates were in action on Wednesday night. As for the Milwaukee Bucks, the top seed in the East, the team with the best record in the NBA all year long, they actually had to play a good portion of the first half without Giannis because he was in foul trouble. So instead, they relied upon the rest of their roster, which features guys like Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton. And they have a roster that can hit you from so many different angles. But yes, at some point, you knew Giannis would be out there and would make a mark.
Number three.
Bucks up six with the ball. Giannis goes out to Lopez. Pump fake right wing, now drives into the lane. Hand off to Giannis. Drummond is there. Giannis to the rim, slam it. Drummond flop, didn't get the whistle, and it's 71-63 Bucks. Brown, the rookie, crosses on Middleton, who knocks it away and got a steal. Swing ahead to Bledsoe. He's on a bust out. Reverse it. Good. And a timeout by the Pistons. 7:09 to play in the game. Bledsoe up to 25 points, and the crowd loves it. Off to Middleton. He's driving. Baseline. Bledsoe put it up again. Got it, and a foul. It's the Bledsoe, folks, here in downtown Milwaukee tonight. 101-86. Bledsoe has 27.
And Bledsoe did lead the Bucks in scoring on Wednesday as they take a 2-0 lead over the Pistons in that first-round playoff series. Bledsoe with 27 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. This was not just a game of offense, though. You're here with Ted Davis on the Bucks Radio Network. Milwaukee also had 11 block shots, 4 of them with Pat Connaughton off the bench. So he had an awesome game. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and as I mentioned, the 4 blocks. So when Giannis was not able to be on the court, his teammates had his back. And it does help that the Pistons are without Blake Griffin. He did participate in shoot around on Wednesday, but still unable to play. And right now, the Bucks are overwhelming Detroit. As much as they were able to come up with a push in the second quarter and have a 1-point lead at half, just too much for them in the third quarter when they got outscored 35-17. And as I said, when Giannis really got into the game,
I knew they're going to come out and try to load as much, put guys in the paint, crowd me. But I just tried to have patience. And just at the end of the day, sometimes you gotta just have will. And I came in the second half. Eric told me, be aggressive, it's gonna come. And that's what I tried to do.
You know, I thought we set the tone in the second quarter. But again, against a team like Milwaukee, you've got to do it for a longer period of time. I don't think we extended it long enough. It showed in the third quarter scoring. They scored 35 points to our 17. So it was our Achilles heel tonight.
Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Pistons, though Detroit will get to host the next two games in that series against the Bucks. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The Rockets not the top seed in the West like they were a year ago. They're the 4 seed, but it's a great matchup for them against the Jazz. And having the home court advantage has allowed them to come out on fire. In each of the first two quarters of their games against the Jazz, they have had such an overwhelming advantage, taking in advantage of what have been mistakes by the Jazz early, almost tentative looking for Utah, but definitely mistakes that unforced errors kind of snowball, and the Rockets have played this complete game early on. You may not need a triple-double from James Harden right now. The defense is also playing extremely well. The Rockets have been too much for the Jazz to handle.
Number two.
Ball into the lane. Takes Gobert away from the basket. Now defending him in the right-hand corner. Rocks the cradle. Steps right. Shoots it. Hits it! What a tough shot that was for Chris Paul. Those early shots coming out of the locker room before the start of the third quarter paid off for Chris Paul in the corner over the top of Rudy Gobert. Harden for 3, straight away, in here, good! So much for the Jazz push. The lead is back to 22. 32 for Harden. He's 6 of 12 now from downtown. 88-66 Houston, 3 minutes to go in the quarter.
We still can improve. Hell, I just looked at the thing. I had 6 turnovers. You know what I mean? So we, as good as our defense has been, if we can keep them out of transition and limit our turnovers, you know what I mean, we can be even better. But I like how our defense is growing. You know, we're talking, we're communicating. Clint was amazing.
Was.
You know what I mean? That at the end of that first half, those blocks that he had, you know, back to back was huge, because when we get stops and we get out in transition, now we tough, because you, I mean, how you going to stop James in transition? Then you got Clint at the rim, and then you got all the shooters out there. So that's when we had our best.
Couldn't have imagined anything better for the Rockets in starting out these first two games at home against the Jazz. Chris Paul talking about his 6 turnovers. Well, James Harden had 8, but he also had his 3rd career playoff triple-double with 32 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Did not have to play much in that 4th quarter because the Rockets were up big at half, 70-44, and they've got the 2-0 lead. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Celtics were trailing by double figures at home against a game Indiana Pacers squad who seemed to hit everything that they took from the outside early on. Had a couple of 10-0 runs in this game, but he who laughs last laughs the hardest.
Number 1.
Kyrie steps to his right and sticks another 3. Leprechauns aren't on that side. What a performance from Kyrie Irving tonight, and we're not done yet. Kyrie with Wes Matthews on it. Left-hand dribble. Kyrie stops at 14 feet and hits again.
Man, that's just so nasty.
Tatum, step back on Bogdanovich. Now starts his drive. Finds the cutter. Gordon Hayward for the easy 2. And with everybody running around chasing Kyrie, running around chasing Jason Tatum, you forgot about the other guy. And Gordon Hayward sneaks in for the 2. That puts the Celtics up by 3 with 12 seconds to play. Matthews will trigger with 12.1 to go, and Indiana down 3. Inbound. Thrown away. Wes Matthews threw it across court towards Bogdanovich, who wasn't even looking. Had no idea the ball had come in bounds, and it sailed from the left side of the floor, harmlessly over the head of Bogdanovich and on to the Boston bench.
And with that last turnover by the Indiana Pacers, Celtics able to hang on for the win. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics Radio Network. 12 seconds to go. They were up by just 3 points. And this is after a 10-0 run spurred by Kyrie Irving, who finished up with 37 points, 7 assists. And you can tell how much he appreciates the chance to finally make his impact as a member of the Celtics. Remember, he wanted out of Cleveland. He wanted to go to a place where he could be on the biggest stage in his sport, but could also own it and be the man, be the first option. Well, this was a good sign for Celtics fans on Wednesday night as he did exactly that.
It felt good to be here in this position, playing in this arena. You know, it's just been a long journey from having those 2 knee surgeries and watching the team last year and finally getting a chance to lace him up for the Boston Celtics in the NBA playoffs. It's nothing like him.
Kyrie was incredible in coming back. And when he gets on a run like that, he's going to draw even more attention than he already draws, which is as much as anybody draws in the league. And so in the last couple minutes of the game, he just made the right play. He got off the ball, he drew 2, and other guys made plays.
Jason Tatum making some key plays down the stretch. Al Horford with a huge block shot. But really, this is as much about what the Pacers didn't do as it is about what the Celtics did do. In these first 2 games for Indiana, Nate McMillan's club has had a quarter in which they've completely collapsed. So in the opener of the series, only 8 points in the 3rd quarter. And then in the 4th quarter last night, just a dozen points. Really unable to capitalize on the opportunity staring them in the face. So this could easily be a 2-0 Pacers lead. Instead, it's a 2-0 Celtics lead. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I heard from a bunch of New England sports fans on Wednesday night. There was one specifically who said to me, I know that the Bruins and the Celtics are in playoff games and the Red Sox are taking on the Yankees, but here I am pouring over the Patriots schedule just released. Now, that may not have been the case for all New England sports fans or for sports fans around the country, but I know that a lot of you are excited about the NFL schedule and the games that you might be able to attend, maybe the primetime games that you're going to plan your weekend around. Yeah, that sounds about right. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, what are the best matchups on the NFL schedule? Coming up, you want the best of the best, the best call of the night from the Stanley Cup postseason, and what a wild finish in Denver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
to Lindell, and then to the corner, Spezza. Now Klingberg, Zuccarello, he shoots, he scores! Matt Zuccarello!
That's gotta be it. That's gotta be it for Reedy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Dallas Stars even their series with a dominant victory at home against the Nashville Predators. In fact, Dallas had four goals in the first period. And talk about coming out hot. I mean, that was the way to set the tone and to make sure that when the series returns to Nashville, they will be all tied up. You love these pivotal game fives, and you know what we've got in the NHL and in the NBA, too? We've got the potential for game sevens. Music to my ears in the springtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So you had three hockey games taking place on Wednesday night. Dallas hosting Nashville, and again, that series is now tied 2-2. So is the game, or the series, excuse me, between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. And this was... If you just look at the final score, you maybe don't realize the ebbs and flows of this game. It was a 6-4 victory by the Bruins, and they got their big guns really to come out strong as well. And they started out with a 4-2 lead, then it was 5-2. The Maple Leafs scoring twice in the third period so that they could make it close. But it was impressive the way the Bruins came out, again, of their locker room and were able to hush that crowd in Toronto. And you've got your big guys who are setting the tone. It always really sends a message then, not just to your opponent, but to the rest of your own roster. So David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand, they were able to deliver. To have Pastrnak score twice, like rapidly in that first period, was a huge deal. So game five comes up Friday night in Boston. And again, total team effort for the Bruins in evening that series against the Maple Leafs. Oh, game sevens. The game seven in that series would be awesome. The two original six clubs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call of the night, though, calls, I guess we'll say it, it's a bit of a montage. The sequence of the night, there we go, in the NHL, the Stanley Cup postseason comes from the Colorado-Calgary series. Now, to set the stage for you, the Calgary Flames, who are the top seed in the Western Conference, were so close to making this a 2-2 series. In fact, they held a 2-0 lead in the third period. It was so close they could taste it, except the Avalanche had other plans.
Deep slot, Barry. Back from McKinnon. McKinnon looking for space. Right in front. Score! Gabriel Landeskog brings it in. Landeskog right down Broadway. Far side, Soderberg. Rats in. One-timer. Score! Yeah! Baby! What a one-timer from Mikko Rantanen!
I'm not sure I could love those calls more than I'm tickled. It's like one of those deals on Facebook where you want to like it multiple times. Connor McGahee kills it on the Colorado Avalanche Radio Network. But responding to what was happening inside the arena there in Denver, crazy atmosphere. And again, the Calgary Flames had a 2-goal lead in the third period. But late, you get the tire from Mikko Rantanen, and then I don't even need to say his last name. We're going to just yell it like Connor does. Mikko!
Yeah!
Exactly what it reminded me of. Yes, Alex Ovechkin with that Stanley Cup. Now, I don't know if that's foreshadowing or not. Don't touch the cup until it's actually yours. But Mikko scores about 3 minutes left in regulation and then has the slap shot in overtime about 10 minutes in. And the Avalanche rally for this 3-2 victory against the Flames in sudden death. Oh, yes, death was sudden for sure. So you already have the top seed in the East on early summer vacation. So the Tampa Bay Lightning swept out, of course, we know this, by the Blue Jackets. You have the number one seed in the West on the ropes, trailing Colorado 3-1. And you have the two seed in the West also on the ropes, as the Sharks are down to the Golden Knights by that same tally, 3-1. And so anything can and will happen in the Stanley Cup postseason. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, and you're letting me know the games that you love in the NFL schedule. And I get it. We're projecting because we don't actually know how things are going to look when we get through OTAs, the summertime, preseason, training camp, all that jazz. But I did note this. The New England Patriots have 8 straight games to start the season against non-playoff teams from last year. Hey, AFC East, anytime you want to mount a challenge to the I almost said the World Series champs. Anytime they have that too in New England, right? Anytime you want to mount a challenge, AFC East, the Patriots are waiting. For heaven's sakes, 8 straight games to start the season without an opponent that made the playoffs a year ago. Why? Why is that? Again, Dolphins, Jets, Bills, looking at you, kids. Come on, let's bring a little something-something in 2019. Don't just lay down. The Cleveland Browns have got 3 of their first 5 weeks on primetime TV. And this is fun. I think this is an indicator that the NFL's tuned in to what will bring them big ratings and big traffic on social media. The Browns, of course, have made a bunch of trades. John Dorsey's been super busy since he took over as the general manager. And even though Odell Beckham Jr. was completely off base, whoever was giving him his information, he was wrong because the Browns open up against the Titans in week one. So that
Cleveland
will be
this week.
A home game.
Cleveland.
The Jets on the road in week 2, not the Giants. That would have been scintillating, but even the NFL can't always make miracles happen.
Yes.
But what we do have from the Browns, again, in the first 5 weeks, 3 games primetime on national television. That includes Monday Night Football. They've got a Sunday night game, week 3, in which they host the Rams. You know, it's the first time in 11 years that the Browns will be featured on Sunday Night Football in a home game. And then a couple of weeks later, they're on the road for Monday Night Football against San Francisco. This is a really crazy schedule. You want to know if the Browns are for reals? Well, this stretch is going to tell you. Week 3, as I mentioned, home against the Rams. On the road against the Ravens in week 4. Week 5, on the road at the Niners. Then week 6, against the Seahawks. They get a bye, and then they go back-to-back at New England, at Denver. So by that point, we should know whether or not the Browns are a pretender or a contender. It's certainly an awareness of the NFL that they've got the Browns featured in a bunch of primetime games. And then if you don't like the Kansas City Chiefs, well, that's too bad because they're also stuffing the Chiefs down your throat in 2019. So a lot of you geeked out about the schedule. We're asking you the best matchups. I've given you a couple on Twitter, and I've mentioned them here on the show. But these are primetime games that I can't wait for. The Packers and the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. That's going to be awesome. That's a week 8 game. And then Rams and Browns is the other one that I just highlighted for you at the dog pound of week 3. Do we really have to wait until September for football? Andrew Bogish, do we really have to wait until September for football?
Yes.
I guess we do now that the AAF has declared bankruptcy and is officially out of business.
I mean, unless you want to get that first weekend in August and watch the Hall of Fame game and see like 7.
No, real football.
Yeah, so no, September's your answer.
That's fake football. Yeah. Have you already pored over the schedules?
No, I can't.
Charts, graphs?
No, I've never really understood the extreme infatuation with this day.
It's hysterical.
Yeah, it's a little much.
It
and
is.
I'm probably going too far in the other direction now, but it's a little much. People are like, it's national holiday, losing their mind. When is it coming? It's finally here. Where's my... That's a win. That's a loss. It's too much.
Yes.
Too much.
People are getting mad at me on social media because I'm not highlighting every single game on a particular team's schedule, but I feel like I've done a good job highlighting some of them. Still, though, I know that you would appreciate the fact that the NFL has allowed the cupcake schedule for the Patriots. The
they need, if anybody needs a break.
And the breaks never go their way.
Right, something to go in their favor, it's them.
Well, good thing. All is right in the world. It's karma, really. I mean, it's just what
is
goes
that
around.
What, it is?
What goes around comes around for the New England Patriots. All right, we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Oh, I want
something just like that. Hey, you have the Brown Brothers here. We're here on behalf of the Raider Nation. Antonio Brown, Trent Brown. We're excited about the 2019 schedule. Trent, who we got this week, baby?
We got the Broncos Monday night, week one.
I like that.
5 straight away game, but we're going to be all right, though.
Are we on roll 5 weeks straight?
5 weeks straight.
NFL. What's after Thanksgiving? Because we know, like you know, after Thanksgiving, football is for real.
Football start, yeah. So after Thanksgiving, we got Kansas City, Tennessee.
It's the Wild Wild West, man. Some big ends Trent going to be having put on their back.
And then we finish it out at Denver. We got to get to the playoffs, though.
We're just going to be excited about the year, the schedule. It's a little crazy. We don't control the schedule. We just control what we do on the schedule. So see y'all in the stadium near you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love that Antonio Brown says he and Trent Brown represent the Raiders and Raiders Nation in that video they posted to reflect on the release of the 2019 schedule. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is, for me, a little over the top. Okay, it's a lot over the top. But I do enjoy the excitement from football fans as they pour over the schedules. I mentioned I got one New England sports fan who sent me a tweet saying, oh yeah, I know that we've got the Bruins and the Celtics in playoff action tonight, and we've also got the Red Sox taking on the Yankees, but I'm already planning my Patriots viewing parties or something along that line. And so I think it's fun. I don't generally comb through the schedules, whether it's my favorite team or anybody else's favorite team. In fact, I'll forget by tomorrow, but I do think it's really exciting, that fans have something to look forward to. To me, if you're happy, I'm happy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And we're asking you the best games of 2019 as we know them right now. Okay, so we're talking about on paper, you know, like how Browns fans are telling me that their team is the best roster in the league on paper. Well, we need to see that roster actually get out there on the field before we can crown them the champs of anything. So again, on Twitter or on Facebook, the best games of the year. And as for the Oakland Raiders, well, here's what Antonio Brown and Trent Brown were talking about. Yes, they will open up again Monday Night Football hosting the Denver Broncos. And that's with Joe Flacco as quarterback, a guy that Antonio Brown knows well. And then they take on this massive road trip from hell. I mean, let's just be honest. This is brutal. I'm sure that this is just a quirk of the schedule, or maybe the NFL really doesn't like John Gruden. Maybe the league wants Raiders fans to forget their team even exists in the Bay Area because they're getting ready to move to Vegas. I have no idea, but this is rough. The Raiders will travel more miles than any other team in the NFL in 2019, and this stretch of 5 weeks is a big reason why. On the road at Minnesota in week number 3, then week 4 at Indianapolis, then in week 5 to London, where they play a home game against the Chicago Bears, only to return, now they do have a bye week in there, but only to return and play the Packers in Green Bay, followed by the Texans in Houston. So again, at Minnesota, at Indianapolis, at London, at Green Bay, at Houston. Wowzers.
Are we on roll 5 weeks straight?
5 weeks straight.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to make or break John Gruden. Red Chucky face. Can see it already. And they don't finish out with any easy shakes either. I mean, they're on the road at the Chargers and then at the Broncos to wrap up. And really, in the AFC West, it's a difficult 2019, again, on paper, because you have the Chargers and the Chiefs, who both made the playoffs last year. The Chiefs are hosting a ton of primetime games and nationally televised games. So that's something you have to deal with twice during the course of your regular season. But also, they take on the NFC North this season as well. So we're talking about another stiff challenge for those teams in the AFC West. But the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the toughest schedules in terms of the stats and the records from a year ago. The Eagles also have a really difficult schedule determined by the NFL. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Ken is listening in Hawaii. Ken, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey there, Amy.
Hello.
I really like your show.
Thank you.
Yep. And I'm a big Seahawks fan.
Okay.
And it's not After Hours here. I turned the show on at 9:30.
That's After Hours. After Hours being anything after business hours, you know.
Oh, okay.
8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, but it's not after 2.
Yeah, no, I got you. I know all about time zones. I make my living on time zones.
Yeah. Anyway, the games I'm looking forward to, second game of the season, the Seahawks play at Green Bay. At Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I can set my alarm to watch it starts at 7 o'clock in the morning here.
You are a trooper.
Yep. And then game 3, the Saints are in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a very good game. Both stadiums are ruckus for the home team, so
sure.
Good thing it's in Seattle. It'll be tough for the Saints,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be a good test for both. And then game 7, the Ravens are in Seattle, and that should be a good game too, just to see good tests for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited. I'm optimistically hopeful.
I like that. It's double whammy. Optimistically like hopeful.
Yep. Yeah. I knew last season was a retooling year, rebuilding year, and then, you know, they went to the playoffs. And this year, you know, like you mentioned earlier, and I agree, Bobby Wagner needs the attention and deserves everything, and already took care of K.J. Wright, so hopefully they'll take care of him. And it'd be great to take care of Frank Clark. I was reading an article by John Clayton, talked about, even with Russell Wilson and his situation, that if you look at different things on the team, especially with Cam Chancellor going out with his neck injury and retiring, and
mm-hmm.
Cliff Averill, and other things that happened.
Earl Thomas, and we could go
Earl
on and
Thomas
on.
Earl Thomas and yeah. Richard Sherman, and but all those different things. So there's a whole ton of cap room that they didn't anticipate. So that should really help with Frank Clark and Wagner, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully they can do all kinds of stuff. But I'm really excited about this season.
Good.
Yeah.
I think it's a tribute to the Seahawks that they have, that they stuck to the deadline, that they have made these priorities for the offseason, and that they're going through them pretty methodically. And I agree with you. Last year was a roller coaster ride for them. It seemed like they would lose two, then win two, then lose two, then win two. But to finish strong the way they did, to have a 10-win season, second in the NFC West, make it back to the playoffs, I actually believe it may have been one of Pete Carroll's best coaching jobs, maybe going back to the first season that he was the Seahawks head coach. But yeah, I think the potential is there. The stability at the quarterback and the head coaching position, that's so important. A lot has changed around them. And they also have a bunch of games in which they'll be in prime time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well, to see how they can build on what was a turnstile in 2018. Ken, thank you so much for your phone call.
Oh, you're sure welcome. Aloha.
Aloha. That's right. That's perfect for what is now my Thursday morning and still his Wednesday night. But I like the fact that we get people who remind us that we're not all on the same time schedule, the same time code. It was actually one of the things that was most difficult to ingrain in my brain when I first started doing national radio. But it now annoys me when I hear other national hosts refer to a specific time. Maybe it's a start time for a game or it's the time for an interview that they have planned and they don't designate a time zone. And so I got you Pacific time zone and mountain time zone. And I always like to include Alaska and Hawaii as well. I had to learn Alaska when I was traveling to Alaska and needed to know when it was okay, when it was appropriate to call my family and friends. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The world's best, including Dustin Johnson, Francesco Molinari, Bryson DeChambeau, and Jordan Spieth, head to beautiful Hilton Head Island. Oh, we should all be on Hilton Head Island coming up this weekend for the RBC Heritage. It's on CBS. I don't hear any mention of Tiger Woods. However, I'm believing that golf will get a significant bump just this spring. Even if he continues to play well in majors, you'll see more casual fans return to watch tournaments that aren't major tournaments or that don't have the same name recognition because they're hoping for a glimpse of what is now a fully resurrected career by one Eldrick Tiger Woods. Thanks so much for all of your tweets and all of your Facebook posts. Oh my gosh, trying to get through all of your responses to the NFL schedule, which I will agree, sometimes it feels like it's way over the top, it's overkill, but that's how we are about our football, to be sure. John says on Facebook, I'm a transplanted Philadelphia sports fan who now lives in upstate New York in Plattsburgh. I bought season tickets for the Jets this year because of the multiple matchups they have with teams like the Raiders, the Browns, the Steelers, the Patriots. All great games, but if I had to pick one, I think it would be against the Patriots at home. Well, let's hope it's a great game. Sometimes they do play tough matchups, and gotta love those divisional games. Patriots have had some games in which they've tripped up against divisional opponents in the last couple of years, especially going down the stretch. But the AFC East needs to come in a little stronger. Now, they're facing Brian Flores this year as the first-year head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Adam Gase, of course, moved northward to New York. And we'll see about the Bills and whether or not they can get back to the playoffs. But I don't know. I don't know if this is the year that someone transplants the Patriots atop the AFC East. I'm not sure that I would bet on it. If somebody gave me money, I'm not sure that I would bet on it. Danny says on Facebook, Giants and Cowboys. I have a tradition now of dressing up as Captain America and tailgating at that home opener. Did I ever tell you? Brian is in for Dave for a couple of nights. Did I ever tell you, Brian, and the rest of you who are listening, that I once tried, I really tried, to make my radio name Amy America, and my family and friends said, we love you, so we can't allow you to do that.
You made the right choice.
What? What do you mean? I feel like it's unique, and nobody else would have that name.
Yes, America is unique.
No, the last name, America. Amy America. I'm just not sure anybody would take me seriously, which, as you know, sports radio is very serious. All right, get it. Get her done. We'll talk to you tonight to wrap up the work week After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.